said, I don't want to fight. Krishna said, I'm ordering it. Similarly, Hanuman is the famous devotee of Lord Ram. Hanuman fought for Lord Ram. He set the whole of Lanka on fire. So that's also pleasure. Lord takes pleasure in fighting us. Then there's been Robert says in other places there's no demons in the spiritual world. Sometimes there's rumors of demons. Rumors, yes. It's talk, maybe the demons are.
Ah, то есть вот.
So how can we understand this statement? Well, demons. No, only a devotee can enter into the spiritual world.
Yes.
So demons can also become devotees. Just like I was a demon and Prabhupada made me into a devotee. Okay. I tried to be a devotee. So by his grace, I may also enter into the spiritual world. That's the only way I can also.
But
anyway. Actually, there's a question from over here. Must be translations.
Right. To get some. It is one and the same good in Russian.
If you're in India, you can imbibe the Vedic culture. Mm-hmm. You can also purchase Vedic literature. Yep. That's not what I wrote. Maybe you should bring it up. There may be so many translations. Translation is not such a big job. What do you think?
I don't know.
Because you're all spirit soul, you all are naturally Krishna conscious. The taste has to be revived. Yeah, in regard to chanting the holy names, Rupa Goswami is an example of the chanting. Krishna Namachan. He says that the name of Krishna is automatically grace. It's by nature, it is sweet like sugar cane. But someone who has got the disease called jaundice, he tastes sugar cane bitter. But the cure for jaundice is to suck sugar cane. Gradually sucking, you'll gradually find that it tastes sweet and then you kill. So in the same way, we may feel that chanting Hare Krishna is not relishable. But anyway, if we go on chanting, we'll become cured of our disease. And then we'll find chanting Hare Krishna very nice. So in the same way, if we go on reading Prabhupada's books, we may have no taste, but if we go on reading, gradually we'll get it. In that case, you just take up the reading as a kind of austerity. Just sit yourself down and read. Like it or not, but read. And eventually, personally, I find Prabhupada's books most relishable. It's wonderful, wonderful reading.
Can you bless it?
You can't read it. Our disease will be cured. It's an important verse in the beginning of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Which means that those who are free from material desires, they like to learn by Krishna. Those who are finished with this useless business of material sense gratification, they like Krishna. And to hear that glorification of Krishna, it is the medicine for the diseased called repeated birth. Hearing about Krishna is very relishable to the mind and heart. And considering how wonderful is this Krishna Kathā, then who will not take to the hearing? Of only someone who is very contaminated by the meeting will lie about Krishna. But devotees, they like to hear about Krishna. So Dharam Prasad Dharma and various of Bhavanti and Karna, the Sayana. Especially in the association of devotees, if we hear about Krishna's wonderful qualities and prowess, it's like a very pleasing medicine for the ears and the heart. It's Joshanat Ashma Pavar Bhavatma Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Prabhu Krishna. That is the that hearing Krishna Katha that will help us in the path of liberation. And in the beginning we may not have taste, but we should hear with faith. Eventually our faith will develop. And as we go on hearing and hearing, our taste will develop. And gradually, pure love of Krishna. So here it is recommended. Siddhanta Prasanna. We should hear in the association. If you don't have a taste for reading, try reading with the Guru. Reading out loud together.
Hare
Krishna. Hare
Ivo. What is your name? Dharam Prasad. Dharam Prasad. Dharam Prasad. Dharam Prasad. Dharam Prasad. Dharam Prasad.
I have a disciple in the temple of the world. Who is the disciple? I
am Shri Radha Maharaj.
It's described there that he merged into Krishna's body, and shortly thereafter he attained his form again in his spiritual body. Krishna tells Arjuna, you just tell everybody, my devotee is never my Krishna.
Million.
10 hours must be completed by every quarter. And absolutely essential. First thing is 16 rounds. If you don't chant 16 rounds, then you won't be able to say Krishna. So you may do Sankirtan for a few days from then. Some will have to do Sankirtan to get Krishna. So you must chant 16. If you're actually so much busy that you don't have we have this usually cook some pujaris. A little difficult for them. It's part of their austerity. The other thing to do is rise very early. One time in London, I was doing the Mangalati every morning, and right after the Mangalati, I'd go and cook the deity's offering and everybody's breakfast. So, 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So, I used to get up at 2 o'clock.
I shall Mangalati.
That's one way to go. Otherwise, you see what most pujaris do, they chant their rounds. So cook, they do the same thing. You just have to have some regulated time with the chant. You have to keep some time with the chant. Otherwise, if it's like 5 o'clock you start cooking, then after breakfast you want second part of the first time to chant. Cooking is also a very important service. Second time bodies, they can't go out unless they get their prasad. Is there the army marches on its stomach. So Gitan is also important. Someone has to print the books,
each other.
Someone has to ship the books, someone has to make sure the books are stored nicely, someone has to manage the temple So even if you don't have so much time to direct and distribute the books, if you can cook nicely, so that Sankirtan devotees and all the devotees feel very satisfied. That's very good service. Desire to go on Sankirtan is very good, as much as possible. But also to keep time for chanting rounds properly, and also some time for the day. It'll be like a shooting star. You know what a shooting star is? Sometimes it's falling out of the sky. It's very, very bright for a short time, and then it vanishes. So better than making a big devotional service for a short time and then finished. Then it goes slower and steadier. Every devotee has to chant 60 times a day. No problem, I suppose. And engage in the service. This sadhana is very important. Preaching is very important and sadhana is very important. We have to keep ourselves strong enough so that we can. We have to keep ourselves strong so that we can advance in preaching service. Otherwise, anyway, we won't have any purpose to preach. Srimad Bhagavatam said, so and so. Somebody told me. Somebody told me the moon is made of cheese. Is it true? It's like in Bengal, somebody could ask questions. As soon as they say that, it means many people say, as soon as they say that, they'll say, we don't care what, we don't care what the many people say. As soon as somebody says Aneke Bole, I stop them.
Yeah,
I say, we don't care what Aneke Bole, we care what Krishna said. What is Krishna
said?
But because he was born in, he was brought up in the family of a chariot driver, he was not considered to be actually a chariot. So Draupadi knew that Karna was also coming to try and win her. She didn't want to marry Karna at all. So she, in the assembly of all the princes, she said that, I am born of a great Kshatriya king. I cannot marry anyone except one who is from the Kshatriya class. So everyone knew that this was directed against Karna. Karna had to withdraw in shame and anger.
Instead, he stayed.
So anyway, after so many princes had come and failed in their attempt, unknown prince or an unknown person dressed in forest clothes came and he did what he had to do. He shot the fish. So actually that time they were living in the house of a brahmana they were living incognito. And that's another whole story. Then everyone, after this, everyone knew that Arjuna is here and the Pandavas are alive. Now, they used to go out every day hunting and looking bringing food. So Kunti Devi had made the rule that whatever anyone gets, they have to share with everybody else. So when Arjuna came back that evening with Draupadi, he said to his mother, that see what I got today. So Kunti, without looking up, said, whatever it is, you have to share it with all your brothers. So this was considered highly unusual. But because Draupadi herself was extraordinary, she was able to serve five husbands very nicely. So anyway, the Pandavas came back and the Yudhishthira became established as the king. His four brothers went out and conquered the four directions. They performed the Rajasuya Yajna, only been performed by kings who have conquered the whole world. And Duryodhana burned within the king. Even though they've been treated so badly by the Kauravas, they did not feel inimical towards them. So anyway, one day, Duryodhana was expressing his lamentation. His close friends were Karna, Dushasan, and Shakuni. Shakuni was his mother's brother. So Karna, Dushasan, Shakuni, and Duryodhana all fall in all a very wicked mentality. Shakuni, that actually means vulture. So So Shakuni one day saw Duryodhana looking very unhappy. So he asked him, what's the problem? So he said, you have a palace, you have a kingdom, your relatives are the kings of the world, you have no shortage of anything, you have wives, brothers, your family, and any person would be envious of your position. And why are you looking so happy? So Duryodhana said that I have all these things, but my heart is burning. And I see the Pandavas in a superior position to us. I cannot get any peace in my heart. Whatever pleasures may be there, singing, dancing, hunting, social life, I cannot get any pleasure from those things. I feel as if my heart is burning day and night. So Shakuni told me, why are you lamenting when you have me as your uncle? Don't you know that I'm expert at gambling, cheating in gambling? Don't you know that Yudhishthira, he has a weakness for gambling? We'll make a gambling match and I will take everything away. So they discussed this idea in the court. And Dur, Bhishma, Dhritarashtra were all against him. So Dhritarashtra, he was kind of in the middle. He knew it was wrong, but at the same time he was so ambitious to have his sons as income. But Duryodhana's ambition and his strong desire, he didn't care what is right or what is wrong. Simply by any means, he wanted to vanquish the Pandavas and take power. So they went to call the Pandavas, and in the meantime they constructed like a whole city with a huge palace, specially made for the gambling. So the request for gambling came to Yudhishthira. As soon as they heard, everyone knew this is very auspicious. Sahadeva in particular spoke out so much against it. Yudhishthira, he always believed in doing the right thing to the rules of religion. So one thing is that a kshatriya, he should not refuse an invitation to gamble. They had a principle that they would follow Yudhishthira, whatever he said, or the place of the Kauravas in Hastinapur, knowing that this is very inauspicious. This is going to be the cause of so many problems. There were so much signs of inauspiciousness as they set out the journey. When they reached there, again, Bhishma, Dur, Drona, they were all against him. Still, Duryodhana overruled them all and they went on. So Shakuni said, okay, let's get started. So first of all, Yudhishthira, he said, I will put so many piles of gold. Shakuni threw the dice. I have one. And so many villages, I have one. So Yudhishthira had immense wealth. Every time he was making huge stakes. And Shakuni was expert in throwing the dice in a cheating manner. Every time, I have one. So gradually, all his possessions were lost.
Look at this.
Until he had nothing left. So what have you got left? Shakuni was thinking. What about your brothers? So one by one, you gamble them away. Then what is left? What about the Arti of the Peters? Seven of them. What is left? And Shakuni suggested, what about Draupadi? No one could think of this. Yudhishthira was as if intoxicated. And threw all right, my stake in Draupadi. But Draupadi was in the women's quarters. At times she was in her menstrual period. And the women, they'll keep their hair loose, not tied up. And they'll live in a separate house. And they'll only wear one piece of cloth wrapped around their body. So Dushasana went to call Draupadi. She is now our property. And he went there and he called. And come, the king is calling you. But he could immediately understand something is wrong. She ran out of the hut. And she ran into the women's quarters trying to take shelter of queen, that means Dhritarashtra's wife. Dushasana ran after her and caught her by the hair and dragged her struggling into the assembly. You cannot imagine what a big insult this is, that she should appear like that, not properly clothed, in front of all the people. Then Karna started speaking. He was so angry with her because she had rejected him. So he said, now you are a slave of the Kauravas. These are not your husbands anymore. Better choose another husband. Of course, in Vedic, modern Western societies, it's not very big to change husband. Vedic culture, this is just Nanda. He said, you should go and join the maid servants in the kitchen cleaning the pots. Now you're a slave of the golden. So Draupadi was fallen, she was shocked, she was angry, she couldn't believe it. Mother Maharaj, be brought up with honor. My husband is Yudhishthira, the king of the world. All my life I've lived a noble life. This has happened to me. So the Pandavas, especially Bhima, he immediately wanted to get up and kill them all. But Yudhishthira restrained them, saying that, no, we lost in gambling, we had to follow the rules. So then Dushasana had the wonderful idea of making Draupadi naked, which is the most, the greatest insult. It's worse than killing. Draupadi was asking everybody, she challenged everybody, is this the right thing? Is this correct? But nobody could say anything. Even Bhishma, when she was asking everybody, is this correct according to Dharma? But even Bhishma, he could give a direct reply. Dharma, very simple and difficult to understand. Then Dushasana wanted to make Draupadi weak, pulling her sarga. And Draupadi simply remembered Krishna. Krishna manifested in this unlimited cloth. So, after this terrible act, everybody fell in the actually, when she said to this, almost everybody, they just left. They couldn't tolerate it. So even many of the brothers of Duryodhana, they also left. But when this incident was over, Dhritarashtra, he felt a little sorry. But he knew what was right and what was wrong. And he was inclined to do the right thing, but he was always influenced by his son Duryodhana. He allowed himself to be influenced. Vidur, Bhishma, and Sanjay, his secretary, they were very straightforward, and they were always very straightforward with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra would sometimes lament that, what bad things we have done, what bad things we are doing. But Vidur, Bhishma, and Sanjay, they wouldn't let him off. Don't lament, it's all your own doing. You allowed all these things to go on. Just talk to your son, Dhritarashtra. So then Dhritarashtra, he felt sorry for Draupadi. And he was afraid that here is such a chaste woman that Krishna is supplying cloth for her. He was afraid that the anger of a chaste woman would destroy their whole family. Just like when Sita had been insulted, the whole kingdom of Ravana was destroyed for the sake of one woman. And actually that's what did happen. His whole family was destroyed for the sake of one woman. But he was feeling afraid, so he said to Draupadi that, you asked me three boons. So she said that, let the king and his brothers be released and let them go back to the king. So they were allowed to go and they walked out of the shop. Duryodhana was even more shocked. He said that we won everything in gambling and then you just gave it all back. Oh, actually some very important things I left out. When Dushasana had tried to unrobe Draupadi and pull them, then Bhima said, he vowed that the time will come when we will fight. The time will come when we will fight to redress these wrongs. So Bhima vowed that I will personally kill all the 100 sons. Because this Dushasana has so much insulted Draupadi, vow that in the battle I will kill Dushasana and I will drink the blood from his heart. So anyway, Pandavas were going back. Duryodhana was thinking, what did we do? We lost it. We gained everything and then we just gave it all back again. So they called them back from gambling again. This time, he said, Dad. Again they were called back, and again Yudhishthira went back. And this was nightmare after nightmare. So this time the betting was that if we win, then the Pandavas will go to the forest, live in the forest for 12 years, leaving behind. Then in the 13th year, they'll have to live incognito. No, they'll have to be not found or recognized by anyone. Yeah, in the 13th year. And if they are discovered during the course of that 1 year, then again they have to go for another 12 years. And if we lose, we'll do the same thing. They threw the dice, and what he said, we have won. So the Pandavas set up in the forest. And were they angry? And they went through so many difficulties in the forest. They couldn't be peaceful. Whatever happened, they couldn't be peaceful. Day and night they were thinking, we have to get revenge. Especially because Draupadi was insulted. Even the loss of the kingdom wasn't as serious to them as that Draupadi had been insulted. Anyway, to make a long story short, in the last year, in the meantime, Arjuna, he went to heaven. He had many adventures. He gained celestial weapons. Arjuna gained celestial weapons so to make him indefeatable in battle. So at the end of 12 years, the Pandavas disguised themselves as menial servants, and they were living in the palace of King Virat, and they managed to keep themselves concealed for 1 year. Just towards the end of the year, the Kauravas, they decided to attack King Virat and steal all his cattle. So King Virat, he couldn't stand up against the power of all the Kauravas. So Arjuna, who was at that time pretending to be a eunuch, a dancing teacher, he told the son of King Virat, why don't you go out and fight? He said, forget it. I'm going in the other direction. So Arjuna said, what kind of kshatriya are you? Come on, I know how to drive horses, get on your chariot. So the prince made, yeah, I'm going out to fight. All the citizens were proud of him. So he was going out all big and strong. When he actually saw the army of the Kauravas and it was just himself, he almost fainted. So Arjuna said, look, I tell you what, you drive the chariot, I'll fight. What are you talking about? You're just a eunuch. He said, well, actually, my good friend was Arjuna. I know how to fight. So he went into battle. And there was Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Duryodhana, all his sons. There was all the sons of Dhritarashtra. There was Karna, all the great warriors. Ashwatthama, big shots. And Arjuna defeated them all. They're saying, who is this person? It's Arjuna. He said, hey, we found you out. We no one else could fight like that. It must be Arjuna. So he found you out. Now you have to go back to the forest for 12 years. Oh, we just went over the 1 year. The 1 year is just finished. So they all came back. They knew this year, everyone came back. So they said to Dhritarashtra, thank you for looking after the kingdom so nicely for us when we were away. Very kind of you. Now give it back. Duryodhana said, no way. You're not going to give anything back. So then the Pandavas said, okay, then it's going to be war. Okay, let there be war. Because Duryodhana, because he knew when the Pandavas, if they came back, there was going to be war. He'd been consolidating his strength and making so many allies in the meantime. So the Pandavas and the Kauravas, they called their different parties. They were asking different kings to come and join them to fight.
Samavosko.
They both Duryodhana and Arjuna went at the same time to visit Krishna. So Krishna said that that I'm not going to fight. So either of you can choose. You can either take my army or you can take me. But if you take me, I won't fight. I'll just be your well wishing. And what had happened when Arjuna and Duryodhana came into Krishna's tent? So Krishna was sleeping. So Arjuna, as the humble devotee, waited at Krishna's feet. Duryodhana waited at his head.
What does it mean, waited?
Waited, Krishna was lying down there waiting for him to wake up. So when Krishna woke up, he looked up and first he saw Arjuna.
Sure.
So when they asked him for help in the fight, he gave this condition. But he said, but Arjuna will have the first choice because I saw him first. So Duryodhana was very worried. Arjuna said, well, I'll take Krishna even if he's not. Duryodhana was very young. He was stupid. What's the use of getting Krishna if he's not going to fight? And I got so many soldiers. So both of them were happy. So anyway, all the armies were lined up. But Krishna went as a last resort to try to make peace. He went to the court of King Dhritarashtra. And he said, it's unnecessary to have all this destruction. Just give the Pandavas half the kingdom. Don't even give it all. But you live together happily as brothers. Said, no way. Then Krishna said, well, just give five villages. As Kshatriyas, it's their duty. They must have some place to rule over. So give them five villages, one for every brother. So Yodhana said, I won't give them as much earth as a pin can be pushed into. Then Krishna became angry and said, you don't know, I'm the Supreme Personality of God, and I wish I can destroy you all. And he showed his universal form. Dhritarashtra, he was blind from birth, but he prayed to Krishna, please, let me see this one time, let me see your universal form. Duryodhana wasn't impressed. It's just some magical jugglery trick that Krishna is showing just to try to make us feel afraid. So Krishna came out of the city and he called Karna. He had some private talk with him. So when Karna went back, they asked him, what did Krishna say to you? So Karna said that Krishna told that actually I'm the brother of the Pandavas. Which Karna had not known. He said, yeah, actually you're the elder brother, why don't you come to the side of the Pandavas? You'll be the king. Duryodhana is because of you, he has, but if you fight with the Pandavas, then the Kauravas cannot stand against them. And once Yudhishthira knows that you're the eldest son, he's the most pious king, then he'll give the kingdom to you. You'll be the king. Karna said, no, I can't do that. He said, I'm too much grateful to Duryodhana. Duryodhana is completely relying on me. I can't pull out of this
stage.
So Krishna went back and said, okay, there's got to be war. War there was. In the beginning, Bhishma was elected as the commander-in-chief of the Kauravas. Bhishma himself was able practically to destroy all the army of the Pandavas. He was such a powerful fighter. But one thing is that one of the sons of Maharaj Drupada, his name was Shikandan, and he had got some benediction that he could kill Bhishma. So nobody could kill Bhishma. Even Arjuna, he couldn't stand before Bhishma when Bhishma was worked up in anger. But eventually Bhishma, after killing hundreds and thousands of the Pandava troops, Shikandan killed him. So then Drona became the commander-in-chief. Drishtadyumna had a benediction that he could kill Drona, otherwise Drona couldn't be killed. So eventually Drishtadyumna killed Drona. Actually Drona couldn't be killed ordinarily. He could, as long as he wanted to, he could not be killed by anyone. So Krishna devised a means to kill Dronacharya. It was causing chaos in the Pandava troops. So he thought the only way Dronacharya could be discouraged is if he knows his son is killed. But his son is as powerful as his father, if not more so. His son, Ashwatthama, can also not be killed. So what they decided to do, there was one elephant called Ashwatthama. They killed it. Then they went to, then Bhima went to Dronacharya and told him that Ashwatthama has been killed. Ashwatthama is dead. But Drona didn't believe him. Thought this is some kind of tactics. So then Krishna told Yudhishthira, you have to tell him, because Yudhishthira is famous, that he would never tell a lie in his life. And especially Dronacharya could not believe that Yudhishthira would tell a lie to his guru. So they made the arrangement that Yudhishthira would tell that Ashwatthama is dead. So immediately after that he was supposed to say, Ashwatthama the elephant is dead.
No.
It was prearranged that when he said the elephant, that Krishna would blow his conch so that Drona couldn't hear him. So after hearing this, Drona, he lost heart. Drishtadyumna slaughtered him. Now actually there are all kinds of dirty things going on. This Abhimanyu had been killed. Abhimanyu was only 16 years old. He had never fought the Tandarati. Well, no one's really sure how that took place because Tukaram lived after Chaitanya. Anyway, Tukaram, he was considered crazy by everybody. He appeared to be like a very foolish person, because although he had a family, he made no endeavor to look after them. He appeared to be very foolish, but he just simply went on praising God. He's particularly famous for being attached to the deity of Panduranga, otherwise known as Vital, who is the deity at Panduranga. You see that deity, he's standing like this. The story is that one time he went there, coming from Dwarka, and his devotee, Pundalik, he went to visit him.
Pundalik said, just wait, I'm busy serving my parents. So Krishna's standing there waiting. So anyway, Yogaram was particularly attached to the deity. There are many stories about him. He made so many prayers in praise of the Lord. Due to his influence, especially the simple people in Maharashtra, the state that he's from, they're all imbued with the spirit of devotion to Krishna. Anything else? That whole chapter is called Vibhuti Yoga, the 10th chapter. In this chapter, at the beginning, Krishna tells how he can be recognized. What are the manifestations of his greatness in this material world? Not only does he say that among the Pandavas I am Arjuna, he says so many things. Among immobile objects, I am the Himalayas, the wielders of weapons, I am Ram. Among wielders of weapons, I am. But those who old weapons, I am Ram. Of learned persons, I am Shukracharya. I am the wisdom of the wise, the gambling of cheats. And at the end, he sums it all up. Yad yad vibhuti vatsatvam shivat vajitam evivam. Anyway, he says that wherever you see anything wonderful or glorious or unusual, wonderful. So in other words, whenever we see anything wonderful, we should know that is a representation. So among the Pandavas, Arjuna is the most accomplished. So in this way, Arjuna can be considered a representative of Krishna. And actually, Arjuna is very dear to Krishna. Krishna told Arjuna directly that I love you even more.